Okay, so as we mentioned before, we're dedicating this class for many people. Let's first begin with a Refuah Shleima, a little Refuah Shleima to Aiden Gittel Bas Aliza Krendel. Today we're learning at the end of the month of Shvat, Tavshin Pehei, is the yard site of Tzipora Bas Arya Halevi. May her neshama have an aliyah, and we are also dedicating this class to Rivka Bas Yisrael HaKoyen and to
Mina
Etta
Esther
Bas
Dov
Ber Halevi. My,
your what is
her neshama have an aliyah.
No,
I mentioned. Yeah. Okay, so I would like to share something really fascinating, really fascinating. I'm trying to put together two maimarim of the Alter Rebbe on the Kruvim. And there's a lot here. It's very enlightening. The Kruvim, as we begin this week learning Truma and God willing next week Tetzava, we are beginning to learn about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And let's understand the Beis HaMikdash as a point in which Hashem and we meet. It's a meeting place. It's amazing that the Chumash calls the Mishkan, the Mishkan. The word Mishkan is the place where the Shekhinah can rest, Mishkan Shekhinah. But Mishkan is also called the Oyel Moed, the tent. And the word Moed, I know that in the Holy Tongue, Moed means a designated time, like Chol HaMoed. But Moed means the meeting room. And I think that's a beautiful way of understanding the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, what we're saying here is not limited only to the Beis HaMikdash. No one ever is claiming that the only place where we can meet God is in the Beis HaMikdash. That is the main meeting place with Hashem. And now that we don't yet have a physical Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't mean that the concept is completely scratched, but we are striving to learn from the Mishkan in understanding better how are we to meet Hashem. In the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan is generally divided into three parts. And the innermost part, which will be the focus of this class, of these Maimarim, that means that we always in America, we're greedy, we're going for gold. What is the ultimate meeting? The ultimate meeting is something that takes place in the Holy of Holies. And what do we know about what is in the Holy of Holies? I'm using the word is in the present, parenthetically, and this is a big innovation of the Rebbe, that the Ark and the Kruvim are currently somewhere inside Temple Mount. And the chamber that Shlomo HaMelech built for them to be housed during Galus is, according to the Rebbe, which is the way it is part of the Beis HaMikdash. It's halachically the Beis HaMikdash. And just like we all know that the innermost part of a Jew can never be damaged, the Pintel Yid never gets extinguished, the core of the temple never got destroyed. It's undestroyable, or it's indestructible. That's probably a better word. Physically also. So there is actually not just the remnant of the Beis HaMikdash. The holiest part of the Beis HaMikdash is standing. But it's hidden, it's underground, and in it we have the Ark, the Holy Ark, the Aron Kodesh. And I just want to focus on the exception that was only allowed to be in the Holy of Holies. The rule is that we are very cautious not concretizing God, not making an idol. Even though Lahavdol, the idolaters, not that I care what exactly was their theology, but even if someone had a physical statue that was representing something, that's also prohibited by us when we're speaking about representing divinity, because we don't want for there to be something physical representing that which cannot be represented. We are unique. That we serve Hashem. We serve Hashem purposefully without having any representation of God. We don't have that. But in the Holy of Holies, Dafke, you had these two golden statues. And I just want to let people know that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, a side of the Kruvim that are now together, they're part of the Holy Ark, he made two stand-alone Kruvim. And they occupied the entire room. And Kruv is a statue that was made out of pure gold. The Gemara asks, what does the word Kruv mean? Kruvim in the plural, Kruv in the singular. And the Gemara says, Kruv means a child. Like, childlike. Childlike means that it was an image of a human, but the face was of a child. And there were two, because there was a male child, there was a female, there was a boy and a girl, but we're speaking about infants probably, very young children. Unlike us, we don't have physical wings. They had physical wings. The Kruvim have physical wings that extend towards each other, but upwards, as you can see in all of the pictures we have in our Chumashim. And they have to face each other. That is the description that the Torah gives. The Torah says that they have to be hammered out from the top of the ark. There's an ark cover. On one end, one Kruv. On the other end, the other Kruv, the wings are extending upwards towards each other, and they have to be face-to-face with each other. That is the way we made the Kruvim on the Ark. When Shlomo HaMelech made two huge standalone Kruvim, they were exactly the same, just much larger, and they were placed on two opposite rooms of the Holy of Holies, and their wings extended across the entire ceiling of the Holy of Holies, meeting in the middle. And that was the meeting of the Kruvim on top of the Ark underneath it. So you had these big Kruvim, you had the mini Kruvim, and there was something, a lot to be learned about the Kruvim. And coming back, if we were to view, correctly so, the temple as a place where we meet God, as the place where Hashem meets us, and the ultimate meeting took place right on top of these Kruvim, that was the ultimate meeting place, to the point that when Moshe Rabbeinu was being instructed by Hashem, Mamish, that he heard God's voice, the way it worked is that he went into the meeting tent. That means he went into the, he did not go into the Holy of Holies, but he went inside the sanctuary where normally only Kohanim can enter. He went in there not to do any Avoida, not to do anything. He went in there and the voice of Hashem that was manifesting on some level, Mamish, in this world, came from the Kruvim, came from in between the Kruvim. And it went into the tent, and he heard the voice. And like Rashi tells us, lest you think that the voice was very silent, it was not. It was a miracle that it stopped. It didn't go outside of the tent. But when he was in there, he mamish heard Hashem speaking to him from in between the Kruvim. And therefore, it's important to understand deeper the meaning of the Kruvim, because there is something that we mamish can learn from it as to how am I better going to connect to Hashem. Happens to be that once we understand how to better connect to God, we will also really understand much better how to connect with each other. And I want to open up with a story. I know I share this story a lot, but it makes a gewaldic point. And here's the story. The story is that the Alter Rebbe raised six children with his wife. He also raised one of his grandchildren. He had many grandchildren. He felt responsible, or he made a commitment to one of his three daughters, the Vaida Leah, who he knew and she knew that she passed away very young in his place. He was supposed to pass away, the Alter Rebbe. These are tzaddik stories. This is not, I don't know what we can learn from these stories. I don't know. But that's the fact, that he was supposed to pass away. There was some sort of accusatory finger pointed on the Alter Rebbe, to the point where it was decreed that he should pass away young. And his daughter, Dvaita Leah, who knew that, somehow gave herself up in his place. And her request to him was, is that for he, the Alter Rebbe, and her mother, for them to raise the Tzemach Tzedek. So the Tzemach Tzedek, from the grandkids, had a very close relationship with his grandfather, to the point that the Alter Rebbe kept the Tzemach Tzedek in his room throughout the day. What he did over there, he was playing and he was learning, but there was a lot of physical closeness, and because of that, you have all of these stories in the one that I'm sharing, that at some point, and this is something that Hashem should bless all of you, to become grandparents, there is a special relationship with grandkids. There's a good saying, which is true, that if you did not spoil your children, you get to spoil your grandchildren. In other words, that there's a certain amount of needed discipline that we are obligated to give to our children for them to be human, not animal-like. And once we do that, we don't need to do that with the grandkids. The grandkids, you can have a relationship that some people choose to have with their kids, is that everything is just loving and nice and wonderful and everything is permitted. You can have that with your grandkids. And that Tzemach Tzedek felt, as grandchildren should feel, this is on children, that the Alter Rebbe was engrossed in his learning, and he took the liberty of jumping on him and playing with him. And by the way, that goes for kids also, up until a certain age. And there is a certain age where we have to educate our children, not because we don't love them, that, you know, I'm busy doing X, Y, and Z, and I love you, and I would love to play with you, but you're not allowed to disturb. He did not have to impart that on the Tzemach Tzedek for whatever reason. So he's playing on the Alter Rebbe, and he's tolerating it, or he's loving it, however it worked. And at some point, he wanted to get his attention. We only know he was tolerating it or liking it, but he was trying to learn. And the child, if he was five, if he was that age, he wanted all of his grandfather. So he tugged on his beard, and he said, Zayda. He was calling his grandfather. And the Alter Rebbe challenged his grandchild, B'chachma. And he tells the Tzemach Tzedek, this is not Zayda, because he said, Zayda. You know, he says, this is Zayda's beard. How do you deal with that? I don't know how I would deal with it. This is a five-year-old. So he grabbed his nose. That's what it says. And he said, Zayda. No, that's Zayda's nose. And whatever it is that he grabbed onto, the grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, says, that's not Zayda. That's my body part. So what did he do? This is brilliant. He went outside. He waited for a while. And he managed to knock a piece of furniture down. Made a lot of noise, and he faked a anguish cry. So it sounded like one of, you know, our kids on top of a bookshelf, and the bookshelf came down to earth. And he jumped, and he went running into the room. So when he saw the way the Alter Rebbe ran in there with concern, with care, just the running, he says, that's Zayda. Now, this is very important that we all know, just to say what we know, that the advantage and the disadvantage of us being familiar with a physical world is that in the physical world, I can take a cup and take a phone and put them together, even though they have nothing to do with each other. That there is proximity, there is closeness, there is the possibility of closeness only because this is Gashmi, and this is Gashmi, and two physical things could be lifted up and can be taken apart, can be brought together. And when they are together, yes, there is a closeness, but other than these two items being physically close, there is zero closeness here. Because whatever the cup represents, and whatever this represents, is not that much in common. Think about it. Once we'll go on to the next world, when you take away the physical, then of course there is closeness and distance, but we don't have the luxury, and we don't have the it's not just a luxury, it's good and bad. We don't have the word is escaping me. We don't have the delusion of that we're close when we're not close. Because if there isn't a proximity in spirit, if there isn't a deeper proximity, then there will be distance. Here you can be close and you can be far away, which is what's so confusing about the physical world. And if we were to view the physical part of our existence to be more than what it is, then we get into a lot of trouble. Like the mimer is about getting close to God, but everything that we're speaking about, our deepest desire of being close to Hashem. And this is not just religious words. If people are not frum, they have the same desire. And even people that claim they don't believe in God, they have the same belief. They just use different words. And the deepest need that all of us have is to be close to Hashem. And getting there is not simple. Why is it not simple? Because what do we have in common? What do we have in common? And if we're not God-like, then there's no way we can get close to God. So that's the challenge. And yes, in this world, going back to the physical, that when Hashem was dwelling in the Holy Temple, as He will, we believe, Amen today, then we have the advantage and the disadvantage of simply going to the Beis HaMikdash, because there I'm there, I'm close, which is on a physical level, gewaldic, right? When the Rebbe was physically living, we want to be with the Rebbe, go daven mincha with the Rebbe. The big disadvantage of that is that other than the physical proximity, there might not be any other proximity. When you take away the physical option, then you're forced, and we want that, is for us to dig deeper, and the same desire, the same outcome, but it will demand of me to get close, not only physically. And how do we do that? So how do we get close to God? So listen to these words. These are gewaldic words. Some of it you heard, and some of it that might be really novel. Hashem wanted us to have that possibility from the outset. And God chose, the words in Kabbalah is, He created the world of Atzilus, or He created, or He emanated, He allowed for the 10 spheres to come out from Him. These are mystical words. Let me try to use a different language to make it very relatable. When God created man, He called man, Adam, because we are Adama le'elyon, because we mirror, we are similar physically to something that's godly. Hashem, by Himself, has nothing that we can be similar to, nothing. Hashem is simplicity, pure, infinite. All of these words are words that we don't know. We don't know what they are. We can understand some of it. We know that what we know is not that. But there's nothing that we have that can be similar to God. But Hashem chose, and that's the key, to express Himself in the words of Kabbalah. We call that godly expression the supernal man, Adam HaElyon. I want to speak about the supernal man. So God chose to invest Himself, almost think the word avatar. Like God created, even though the word creation is not precise, God manifested Himself into what we will call supernal man, and we here are an image of that. And the more we understand that, the more we understand ourselves, and the more we understand what is it that needs to happen to get closer to God. To God Himself, we can't get close to Hashem Himself. I'm not infinite, so how am I going to get close to infinite? I'm not pure, I'm not. But we can all become more godly-like by understanding what's Adam HaElyon. And the key of the supernal man, that's the key, is that Adam HaElyon is complex. Adam HaElyon has opposites. There is a right and there is a left. There is a top and there is a bottom. And that complexity somehow works in perfect harmony. I'm not saying anything you never heard, but this is extremely important. The supernal man, the chiddush, the novelty of what Hashem did, is not that God created something wise. God chose to create wisdom, and now God has wisdom. So now I can say, well, if God has wisdom and I have some wisdom, I have something in common. That would be a misunderstanding of all of this. Or God chose to create kindness, and God is infinitely kind. Oh, so when I'm kind, right? When I'm kind, when I'm compassionate, I'm close to God because I'm godly-like. You're missing almost the whole point. Because what God made by His investment in Adam HaElyon, in the supernal man, goes way beyond there being wisdom and kindness. God created opposites, like a right side and a left side. The physical body is, there's a right hand and a left hand. The right hand represents chesed. The left hand represents the power of restraint. But the beauty, the uniqueness of the creation of Adam HaElyon is that Hashem integrates the right and the left. He's not chesed. He's not gevura. He's chesed and gevura. The moment, let me work on my chesed, the moment a person is focusing on one side, and not that we have two sides, we have a million sides, parts. Adam HaElyon means is that God allowed for there to be something that's very diverse, diverse meaning opposites, and not opposites, and this and that, and up and down, and right and left, and center and not center, and they all are integrated with each other. Someone told me, a big scientist, that when they're talking now about living forever, which is something that the Torah says, that in the beginning we were created to live forever, and you know the Rebbe already was speaking about Chayim Nitzchiim, that it's not something that's completely beyond, it's not that beyond anymore. You know how we will live together physically? When the system that God gave us will work in perfect harmony. When something gets off a little bit, it's like you have a watch. So there's like a million little, what are they called? Not levers, dials. Okay. Oh, yeah. And if one of them goes off a little bit, everything will get off. So Adam HaElyon doesn't only mean that Hashem is manifesting himself through the 10 spheres, through diverse powers. No, Adam HaElyon is Hashem modeling that inside many different parts, there can be many different parts, but they all become one. Not either it's one or it's many. No. That there can be many that become one. There can be opposites that come together. And the word in English is integration. That's Adam HaElyon. What's not integration? Not a person who's not wise. Let's say like this. We all have wisdom. We all have wisdom. And we all have foolishness. If foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. Let's say that. Okay. I like to think if we all have kindness, we have cruelty. And cruelty is the opposite of kindness. We have both. Not a non-integrated person, which is the way we are created prior to working on ourselves, is that I will either right now allow myself to be aware of my kindness, and I'll be a kind person. And when I'll be kind, I'll be kind. And then I'll choose for reasons that I will justify. Now is the time to be cruel, and now I'll be cruel. Either or. Either I'll be a big chacham, I'll be wise, and we all have that. Now it's the time. Now it's a moment to be wise. Now it's a time to relax, whatever that means, and not to be that. Either or. One or the other. One or the other is the greatest separation we can be from God. So what do? People say, okay, to be close to God, I'm going to get rid of my cruelty. First of all, if you can succeed with that, be'emes, good for you. But as the Alter Rebbe writes, we have to accept a fact that for almost all of human beings, mamish, we will not be tzaddikim, and we don't strive to become a tzaddik. That means it's not like, okay, I'll be chesedik. No. In behavior, you bet I better only be chesedik. In my behavior, expressing cruelty is never okay. But I'm not talking about behavior. I'm talking about who am I? That in me, this cruelty. And sometimes I don't have to work on myself to restrain my cruelty. And sometimes it's very difficult. A person can be very kind. A person can be very angry. Let's go to anger. So a tzaddik doesn't have anger. And the anger that a tzaddik has is something holy. I'm not talking about that anger. I'm talking about not good anger. Anger. Human anger. Some people are in touch with their anger. Some people are not in touch with their anger. But the proximity, the Adam HaTachton, that's supposed to be Adam Ala Elyon, what makes me closer to God is not me getting rid of my anger. I can't even do that. It's me being aware at the whole time of all of the different parts that I have.
Paradox.
Huh?
It's the paradox.
But me holding the paradox at the same time.
Yeah. The integration of
the integration happens almost by itself. It's a whole different way of looking at oneself.
Rabbi, I can't wait, and maybe I'm taking this too literally. I don't know how I'm supposed to be both at the same time.
There's being and there's behaving. I'm not talking about behaving.
Okay.
First of all, we are opposites at the same time.
Okay.
We are. It's a fact. Which means, I'll give more words.
Like if I'm angry at my son, I'm angry. I love him also, but right in this moment, I'm like, sit in your
You're garden. Confirming what I'm saying, that we were created, maybe not before the first sin, but what we are working towards is becoming more similar to God, which is the way we get closer to Hashem, or to the Kruvim. Mm-hmm. That the Kruvim was a person and a person. We'll get to the child part. One of them represented God. One of them represents the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And God is not a person, chas v'shalom. But godliness, these are the words of Chassidus, elikus, atzilus, is something that Hashem chose to manifest through it. Now we can be like him. What's Adam? Adam is exactly what I'm describing. So let me, very good what you're saying. I relate to you. That what? That I am either aware of my kindness, that means when I'm feeling, business is business, a guy just told me that. A person that's very kind. But in business, they were having a dentoira, and during the dentoira, they says, listen, the person is very kind, but they were refusing to be kind in the dentoira. Because now it's business. Business is business. Either or is called a split. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of avoida to be able to hold both at the same time. But what we begin with is that one part of us is so disconnected from the other that most people, if you were to tell them, when they are in their zone of chesed, that you are a cruel person, they'll get very angry at you. They'll get angry at you because people do not like to be misunderstood and they will feel misunderstood. Why will they feel misunderstood? Because at that moment, they think that there isn't a drop of cruelty. At that moment, the cruelty that's there is hidden. But it's there. V'haraya. I don't know what that person's trigger is. Just the wrong person doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. Unless that person is a tzaddik, what will come out will be cruelty or anger or any other of the bad midos.
Just to know that even when you're acting in chesed that you have...
Not only for, yeah, but we have to be careful. I'm not saying that a person should stop. Mm-hmm. Whoa, who do I think I am? No. But use these words. It's important for us to see, beginning, that there are times that I'm cruel. Begin seeing that.
Okay, so
one second.
To be aware of the ego at all times, even within the
car. There is an eye that we have, what the Goyim called the third eye. There is a certain capacity that we have that can look at ourselves and see the whole thing at the same time. Instead of the way God made us, that when I'm looking, the way without avoida, I can only see what's in front of me. And you ask a person, go take a look at what's behind your head. Without effort, you won't see. You cannot see. You say, how can I see what's, it's not even black. There's nothing there. So there's what's in front of us, which is we have, Hashem gave us all of these different capacities. We are all of them. And before we expand, let me use that word, so we're very small people, and we only see, like the horse, we only see what's in front of us. So if I'm standing in front of my chesed, I'm chesed, and I identify with it to the maximum, and in that place, I can't even on any level see the opposite that's in me right now. That's called integration. Integration, not that I'm making an effort to integrate. I want to see the whole thing.
Wait, the integration is that you can't see? Or
The integration happens by God when you see the whole thing. Now,
the opposite of chesed has to be anger?
I think the opposite of chesed is cruelty. I don't think the opposite of chesed...
Cruelty?
I think so.
Can't be gevura, like strength? Like, what's it called?
A
system? Like, this is the opposite of that?
I think there are many systems that Kabbalah gives us, and I wanna use an extreme system. Mm-hmm. Because in the regular system, the opposite of chesed is gevura. Why do I want to use an extreme system? Because when the more we try to integrate, the better off we will be if we would see how extreme we are, even if they only come out once in the lifetime. So gevura shebe gevura, in the negative way, is cruelty. Esav. We say, God forbid.
Cruelty,
in Atzilus, there's no cruelty at all. Because whenever there's integration, let me go from this angle, when a person is able to see at the same time their own opposites, you know what it does to them? Something magical on both ends. Their kindness won't be out of control, which is a good thing. And their restraint will never become cruel. Because one party affects the other. Without me looking at both, what's happening inside of us is something crazy, is that the chesed is running wild. And at the same time, my gevura is running wild. Because there is no arbiter telling the chesed, you need a little bit of gevura. Or the gevura, you need a little bit of chesed. Why isn't chesed communicating to gevura? Because when I'm in my gevura mode, look at a child, and we all have that in us. When we get angry, we exaggerate. Integration takes away exaggeration. And exaggeration is the root of all evil on this level, mamish. The opposite of exaggeration is emes. Sometimes emes can be very painful, but exaggeration is when we are allowing one part of ourselves to get out of control, and everyone, unless you are a tzaddik, everyone knows that certain things in their lives is out of control. And when we're younger, it's so easy to blame it on external, and the external is not okay. But we think that's it. And if only the external would change, then I wouldn't be out of control. So just live another 10 years and another 10 years or change your circumstances. And everyone, this is a human, we come to the point when we recognize that, yes, the external has to be fixed as well. We're not talking about that. But the out of control came before the reason. It's not since you did that to me, now I'm angry. No, I have anger in me. And I don't want to look at it because I'm the opposite of angry. What's the opposite of anger?
Calm.
Let's go calm. I'm a calm person. Or I'm anxious, but I'm not angry. Okay. But you don't even see that. So what happens is that anger has its own life. It's like the child that's not being disciplined. So if you never tell it, stop, you're exaggerating, like you're upset. Okay, I hear you. But just because you didn't get this or that and the other, you don't have to go, you know, meshuga for an hour, stamping your feet. You're exaggerating. If no one tells it to the child won't know. And then, when the opposite, if people allow for their anger to go unchecked, these will be people that when they'll be kind, they'll be too kind. And this world, too kind here is not okay. And we know it deep, deep down. Oh, I became a shmata. You made yourself into a shmata. But I couldn't help myself. Correct. Correct. I'm talking to me, I'm not talking to you. The avoid of Adam al-Elyon means that it's not like God made this 10 spheres. Let me learn about it. That when we were younger, let me understand chesed. Let me understand, because now God made chesed, then he gave me chesed. The message is not before you learn about whatever they are, whatever that is. The bigger chidush of godliness that we can get close to is where opposites are aware of each other. So it doesn't allow us to get too godly, which is important in Chabad Hasidus and humanity. People that are too godly are not, that's not what Hashem wants. And it doesn't allow us to become too evil. It doesn't allow us to get too earthy because of that connection, like a balanced person. Right? All the Shidduchim resumes, that's what they try to portray. Perfect balance.
No, they don't.
Chassidish but normal. Like, Chassidish but not frum. And I can go on and on about, God forbid, about... In other words, what they're trying to say is, in their misunderstanding, that it's a balanced person. What does a balanced person mean? How does it begin by me? By me first seeing all of my parts, not with the intent of me becoming a split personality. You have to be careful when you do this, because what you can actually see, you can see in yourself that I have the devil in me. So then, now... It's not about seeing that I'm a demon. And, I'm a tzaddik. Could be. You have to see how they're somehow you. You have to first see the opposites, and then there has to be some sort of integration. This is not something that you do. It's something that happens by itself. Your avoid is to see better what is. Not to make things up. Not to exaggerate. Because of our ego, it's very bruising to our ego to be able to see within us something that's not becoming. And I think that's where many people get stuck. That means that we all have in us such horrible tendencies that it's too difficult for the ego to look and say, that's me. No, that's not me.
All right, what about monsters? Stories of the week that I don't want to get into.
We have monsters in us. We have the capacity. We as human beings have that capacity.
I'm not talking about behavior.
Okay. And don't force anything on you. Don't force. I think we don't have to go there. That's not the point. The point is not to go to the lowest of the low. The point is if let's begin like this. We are all blind. How do you know you're blind? I'll tell you how you're blind. That's how, when we're younger, things happen around you that you don't know of. And when you become aware of it, you go out of your mind. How do you think it was even possible for you not to see something that was there? How? Not because you're not intelligent, because you're blind to yourself. Listen to me. And the more you can see yourself, don't exaggerate, don't put a monster that's not there, but don't deny that there is a potential. I'm not talking about a behavior monster, if it is there. It is our blindness to ourselves that makes us blind to the world outside of us. Not about how smart or how intuitive or how dumb. No, it's about we have a lot of blindness to self. And what's the purpose of seeing? Because the more I can see all of my parts, the more they will integrate. That integration is what makes me similar to God. On a Gashmi level, what makes a person similar to God, make no mistake, is keeping mitzvahs. Because we're doing what God wants. It begins and ends with that. This mimer, we're speaking about the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is not something that we do. We're not a Kohen Gadol. We have to learn something. The Holy of Holies is the chamber within the chamber. Lifnai v'lifnim. So we're speaking about an avoida, an inner work that will make us close to Hashem. Now let me go further. Again, these are words and beautiful words. But the more we understand them, it's like very enlightening. When Hashem, so to say, made the world, so there is godliness that we call the supernal man, Adam HaElyon, and then we have Adam. Adam and Chava, they were a billion years ahead of us. They were big people. The Kruvim were not figures of a man and a woman. They were figures of a child and a child. Why? I'll tell you why. Because listen to what happens when we don't see a part in us. It doesn't develop. It remains childlike. It means every person will have a part of them or in them that, because of the fact that they were not seeing it, it was too insulting to the ego to see that they have that, it remains underdeveloped. Which is amazing. It's amazing to see that there is a part of all of us that's relatively very well developed, an adult. And then there is something in us, especially the parts that we are yet to discover. It's not only that you will discover what it is, it will be very childish. Because no one was raising it, no one was talking to it. So if you take a kid and you put him in a room and there's no communication, they need help. All of these people that were released, that's being away 500 days from people. What happens if you are away 10 years? They say, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about that. I know there's something to learn. Hashgacha Pratis, just to understand that when something lives in isolation, it doesn't develop. So the next devolution is that when we begin to look with the purpose of integrating all of us, the Hasidish part, the earthly part, the good part, the bad part, don't make it worse than it is, don't deny what it is, go see that and look at it at the same time. Put an eye behind your head, see the whole thing. There'll be a phase in which some of all of us is a child. Which is why the Kruvim were childlike. Doesn't remain a child. Children grow up. So coming back, how do we get closer to Hashem? By being godlike. How can we become godlike? The representation of that was the Kruvim. What are the Kruvim? God is showing us that He could be represented only there. Not only in human form, not him, God forbid, but the Shekhinah manifested on it, but childlike. So when we begin to look at ourselves, you can have a person that's 30, a person that's 60, you should know that there are parts of a 90-year-old that can be mamish 9 years old. Because when they were 9, something happened to them, and because of that, something in them was split off. They don't see that anymore because they cannot live with that. So there's a certain, let's say, purity, or there's a certain naiveness, which is not good to go through this world with, that we needed to give up to survive. Or we lived in such a cruel society that we needed to identify with cruelty. If not, you wouldn't survive. If a child has a teacher that's cruel, that's not uncommon. I'm not talking about a teacher that's hurting them. No, a teacher that's smiling, it's much worse. But if the teacher is a cruel person, because his teacher was cruel, cruel is very scary. So you have to be on the good side of the teacher. But what happens there is that something kind will be split off. And that person, that child, will adopt. He's the teacher. He's the boss. He's godlike. I'll become like him. And when you see that 30 years later, so the kindness that you had is still a 9-year-old's kindness. And the cruelty grew with you. The toughness. A person. I can overcome. I can do it. We all have that. So the beginning of that, we will all be childlike. And the more we can look at all of us, that's the first step in getting close to God. And not, let me become a greater tzaddik. Let me become a greater tzaddik in behavior, yes, absolutely. I'm talking about inner-wise. If I'm going to see myself only in part, that already put me away from God. I can never reach God. Amazing. You always see that. I always saw that in yeshiva. The bachrim that weren't the learners. When I was in yeshiva, it was so nice. The Rebbe came to Daven often in the 80s. And whoever the we were, looked at the bums, the bachrim that were not learning, It was a different world. They used to be in the back of 770. And one of the things that they, the big sins then, is that they used to wear cologne. Okay. So whenever you walked by the back of 770, it would smell of cologne. And like, shame on you. And there was that looking down. And I remember hearing one of the Hasidic guys making a statement to that implied that he's closer to the Rebbe. And this person says, that's your mistake. He says, my Rebbe. And he's my Rebbe the way he's your Rebbe. And it was, he said it and it was so emes. In other words, you don't get closer. This guy was close. He was closer because he knew who he was. He wasn't pretending to be something that he's not. And the people in the front were only looking at their holy side. Good for them. Halavai, Gavaldik. But they did not see that they also have a teenager that wants to wear cologne. It doesn't matter if they were wearing it or not. That they had. So if you have it and he has it, who makes you? You're the same. What makes us closer is integration. Let me use that word. But there's three things that Alter Rebbe writes. Integration is just the human form, and to see how many parts of us is so childlike. And you don't have to raise the child quicker than needed. It happens by itself. It only happens when you begin to see it. It's amazing. And the better you see it, not exaggerated, not denying it, it's going to start growing. So however old you are right now, if you cut off a part in you when you were 5, okay, so and then in 15 years, that part will be mature. 15 years, we all think we have 15 years easy. We still think we're young. So that's that. But then the next thing, it has to have wings. And wings represents movement, and wings represent growth, because wings lift the bird up. That one of the key features that will make us, that will bring us closer to Hashem is, again, I'm not talking about behavior, the inner. My yearning to grow. I want to grow. It's not a bad judgment on yourself. And God forbid it should be an arrogance. Psh, I'm so great that no matter how great I am, I still want to grow. No, it should be that a person has to grow. And growing is to grow up. Growing up means up is heaven. Earth is Gashmi. That we have a physical part. Yes, we do. But we have to put everything in the right place. And the right place will be, like in the story of the Tzemach Tzedek, is that the physical, of course, it's part of us, but it's the last part of us and not the dominant part of us. And that changes everything. Easy to say these words. You know, you have many different chazals, that the whole Yiddishkeit, and you have also in Chassidus, that the kavan of everything is to make spirit be more important than matter. A lot easier said than done. Because we begin, because we are physical people, that there is not unhealthy. There is just a understanding of and a appreciation of and a connection with the physical. Something that's not physical is hard to connect with. Like we began, you can have two people. When people are younger, they can define closeness as physical. When in truth, if that's all of what is there, then most of them are not close at all. Just the physical part. So you have to go deeper. So the rising up will always express itself, not in theory, not in the brain, but in our experience. When we begin to experience, that's the goal, that which is not tangible is more important for me than that which is tangible, I'm going up. That's the direction we're going. Never losing. I'm not splitting off the Gashmi. That's not integration. That's going to kill everything. People that become angels are not close to God. They're not people. God wants people. If not, he would have kept us in Gan Eden. But changing that, like a bird represents that. A bird is a creature of the ground. A bird could be grounded, but a bird knows how to fly in the heavens. And the wings represent that is the upward movement. I even think that physically, at the way the world is right now, when people get older, the physical stops functioning. The physical deteriorates. Why? Not for people to have a hard time getting old. Because almost it's like God is expecting of us that the older we get, the importance moves away from that. So it's not that important. We are given that which is important. If it's not important, then we have it to the degree that it's important. Now, I know health is always important, and we definitely daven for health. But the aging, the physical way of the world right now, the aging means is that ideally we would like to be in a place that when we get old in 50 years from now, it should be a non-issue. Why would it be a non-issue? Not because I need to have hands, but because I'm a bird, the wings. Ruchni over Gashmi. Not only Ruchni, God forbid, changing the priorities, and that's a process, and you cannot force that. And when you force that, then you're blind. Like, it's very easy when we're younger in yeshiva, they tell you these ideas, and if it makes sense, and to many of us it makes sense, you say, okay, that's me. Doesn't work that way. Yeah, for me, the Ruchni is the Iker, but that's not true. And we don't see that. In other words, we have to know where we're at. We have to know exactly where are we in the balance of things. We begin that Zayda is the Alter Rebbe's beard. Then we have to graduate. No, this is his beard. Who is he? Not the Gashmi. Who was he in that story? For a five-year-old, a person is the care, the feeling, the all of the qualities that the Alter Rebbe manifested through the physical, but it wasn't the physical. The physical was just a channel for it. And the Iker, the final part of the Maimed, is that the Kruvim faced each other. The word panim means inside, lifnim. And the only way we get close to God on this level, and I'm emphasizing on this level because Yiddishkeit will always begin and end with Hamaisa Hua Iker. And the reason why the Litvisha world or the then Misnagdisha world, they didn't like Hasidim, the intelligent ones, is because they were afraid that we would somehow not give importance to the actual observance, which we do. Even though all of these Maimonim that we're learning are speaking all about inner Avodah, we do the mitzvahs, but we always have to look inside. We have to go for the pnimius. Two people connect when they're facing each other. Facing each other represents the inner of one is trying to connect to the inner of the other. And it's lifnim, vilifnai, vilifnim, vilifnai, vilifnim. It goes deeper. There's no end to it. But this avoid of always trying to see deeper, to go deeper, when a person is on that track, so they're trying to integrate, they're trying to elevate, and they're trying to live in the inner world, which is not so easy because the outer world is hopping us the whole time. When a person gets into that zone, that is the Kruvim. That's the Kruvim. And when a person is that way, that person is getting closer to Hashem. And then you take the same ideas and you apply Bin Adam L'Chaveiro. It's the same thing. For people to get closer, what disconnects people is that I have a friend because we both share one thing in common, Gavaldik, but you won't be close to that person. You can't be close to that person on this level. It's not about one part connecting to one part. It's the avoid of getting rid of the parts. But ironically, the only way I can get rid of my parts, it can become echad, is if I see the parts. That's the paradox. And I see how is it even possible that in one human being, you know what's in one human being? If we would see it, the mind would explode. The heaven and the earth, that's what it says, that Adam has from the whole creation in Adam. That's you. That's every person. It's scary and it's amazing. Just we are unable to see all of that. Going back to your monster, that's on that level, I think that we all have the capacity of being Mashiach. And we have the capacity of being the opposite. Has to be that way. Has to be that way. So just like it's not healthy for people to go around thinking that they're the Messiah, that's only one part. You know, go to Yerushalayim. It gets some people, mamash, think they're Mashiach. For a person to walk around thinking they're a monster, that's the same thing on the opposite direction. But somewhere, I don't see it yet. So I don't see it. So adarava, own up to that. But what do I see? The more I can see and hold that and hold and hold and hold, the more somehow they connect. Try to fly to the heavens. Try to go. Try to just prioritize. See more panim al panim. This is how people connect. This is how we get closer to Hashem. This is the way we connect to each other. And that's, you know, the way that Rebbe says beautifully that in the holy ark, in the holy Beis Hamikdash, certain articles had in them staffs. like in the Aron HaKodesh, that were there, begashmias. So when we transported the Aron from one place to the other, we should be able to carry it. So they were like sticks that were very long, that they went, and there were like these rings on the corners of the Aron HaKodesh and the Levium. The Torah says they were never allowed to be removed. Now, they were never allowed to be removed. Why? Yeah, when we were in the desert, we were moving around. The Aron HaKodesh is not meant to be moved anymore. So why do you have to have, it's like you don't live out of a luggage, but it's not a luggage. So the Rebbe says beautifully, there's one level and the other level. One level is that the Torah has to be brought to the people. The whole idea of Shlichus. That we're all over the world. We're bringing the Aron HaKodesh to the people. Not Begashmias, Beruchnias. But much deeper than that, is that, that's the whole Basa Lagani, is that whatever the Beis HaMikdash represents, it has to happen physically in Yerushalayim, and it will, because it has to happen. But it's a big mistake to put it all over there. It's not only about the temple, in the temple, that we have to expand the Beis HaMikdash to every home, to everywhere in the, around the world. The Rebbe wanted Chabad houses to be built everywhere at the same time when the Rebbe is saying Mashiach is about to come, because it's not one or the other. There'll be a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and every shul has to be a Beis HaMikdash, and every home has to be a Beis HaMikdash. That means that like this mimer, these ideas have to be practiced for our homes to become Beis Chabad style, Beis HaMikdash style. And this is not a practice. B'chitzonius, this is an inner, a big inner avodah. And we'll leave it at that.